Three companies have a preferred route for a high-voltage transmission line between Madison and Dubuque: American Transmission Company, ITC Midwest, and Dairyland Power Cooperative published their proposal for the Cardinal Hickory Creek line last month. Meanwhile, there's been a strong lobbying front, landowners organizing in groups, exploring legal options, municipalities drafting resolutions to create more protections. ATC is getting ready to submit its application to the Public Service Commission. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. By the way, American Transmission Company has been a longtime business sponsor of WPR. Kaya Freeman is corporate communications consultant at American Transmission Company. Kaya, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you're submitting a formal proposal to the Public Service Commission sometime soon. Do we know when this is happening and what is in that formal application?
We are currently in the process of finalizing our application. We plan to submit it sometime this spring, and it will include a significant amount of information. It will include information about the cost for the project, the benefits of the project, a pretty thorough analysis of the need for the project, as well as information on routing, potential environmental impacts, and a lot of information about where the project would go, why it's needed, and how we would intend to construct the line if the project is approved.
Okay, let's start with the first thing, cost. We've heard $500 million for this project. Is it still at about a half billion?
That is the estimated construction cost for the project. It's really important to note, however, that due to the significant benefits of this project across the region, it has been determined to be a project that will be cost-shared across the region. So, in effect, Wisconsin ratepayers would pay about 10 to 15% of that cost. And the way the system works and the way these projects are proposed and looked at, when we propose a new transmission line like this that has multiple need drivers, reliability, access to lower cost power, and this one access to renewable energy, there's an analysis done of the benefits of the project. For this one specifically, they are anticipating that the benefits of this portfolio working together across the upper Midwest are expected to outweigh the costs of the project. But it is very important to note that of that $500 million construction cost, the cost to Wisconsin ratepayers would be about 10 to 15%.
Walk us through the preferred route and where it goes.
Sure. As part of the Wisconsin process, we are required to submit at least two routes to the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. We have identified those routes, a preferred and an alternate. The preferred route would head west, essentially out of the Cardinal substation, and then go south along an existing transmission line. Existing transmission lines, along with highways, are the highest priority in the state of Wisconsin for infrastructure that we should follow. So that's where we look to go first. It follows the state priority siting law, and it generally follows public opinion. So once we follow that existing transmission line, we would look to connect up to Highway 18-151. That's a four-lane highway. Follow that generally, and then go to an existing transmission line in the Dodgeville area. Follow that existing transmission line to the Montfort area, and from there, follow an existing transmission line to the Cassville area in Wisconsin.
So this preferred route, though, critics are saying this could be environmentally destructive. It cuts right through the driftless region of Wisconsin. How do you reckon that?
Wisconsin is a vast state. It has a lot of ecological sensitivities when you go throughout the state. Incredibly beautiful as a person who has grown up in this state. When you look at it, and this is why the siting priorities are there, I believe, you look to minimize new impacts. How do we do that? We follow existing transmission lines where there is already infrastructure that exists. That helps us minimize impacts. We look to follow things like a four-lane highway. Our preferred route does that. We look to, again, connect up with an existing transmission line all the way to the Cassville area. I encourage folks to go to our project website, cardinal-hickorycreek.com, and go to the interactive map. they can cruise it for themselves and see where our preferred route goes along an existing transmission line and along a four-lane highway.
We're talking about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line, and this that would be a continuation of the Badger Cooley transmission line. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Kaya Freeman is with us. She is a communications consultant with the American Transmission Company. Kaya, so what would the transmission line structures look like? Would these be like lattice towers, wooden frames, poles? Give us a vision for what these would look like.
A majority of the structures would be single pole steel structures. They're estimated to be in a range of between 120 feet to 160 feet tall.
And so it would change, though, along the line to different structures at certain points, or how does that work?
They would be generally those single pole structures. In rare occasions, there may be a design requirement to do something else, but until we file our application, until the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin reviews our application, and until other stakeholders weigh in during the formal regulatory review process, we will generally say we would expect it to be largely monopole structures, and I wouldn't expect that to be any different. But there may be unique instances where there would be alternative structures. For instance, if you drive along the Beltline here, where ATC constructed the Rockdale-West Middleton line to electrically connect western and eastern Dane County to support electric reliability, you'll see a few different structure types. But largely those structures along that line, and largely the structures along the Badger Cooley line from the Middleton area up to La Crosse, are single pole steel structures.
The Mid-Continent System Operator, which is the regional electrical grid operator, has endorsed this project in part by saying that it would provide infrastructure to support the expansion of renewable energy. But critics of the project have said that the demand for the electricity simply isn't there, whether it's from renewable sources or not. They said electricity demand is flat here in Wisconsin. How do you respond to that?
This project was never proposed as a one-dimensional project. I will say that the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin in its recent strategic energy assessment does predict modest growth from 0.5 to 1.6%. All that being said, and while this line would support growth now and into the future, it's being proposed for different reasons. It's being proposed for overall electric reliability. It's being proposed for access to lower cost power to reduce congestion on the transmission system. When you connect two states electrically with a 345 kV transmission line, that improves access dramatically. It allows electric utilities to buy the lower cost generation. Additionally, for this project, the third benefit is that access to renewable energy. And while folks, say the renewable portfolio standard is being met, and that is correct, I do think it's important to point out and would encourage people to review the PSC Strategic Energy Assessment to see that more than 50% of the renewable energy portfolio standard that is being met by sources outside of Wisconsin.
Other critics are saying that this line is for other states. It's not for Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a conduit here, if you will, to ensuring power in other states, and Wisconsin is having to foot the bill for other states. So what about that pushback?
Well, there are two of the three substations that this line would connect electrically are located in Wisconsin. One is located in Dane County in the town of Middleton area. The other one is in the Montford area. When you have an electric transmission grid that moves electricity, it follows the path of least resistance. It goes, the power flows where it's needed. These substations are all interconnected. They serve the lower voltage lines in these communities, which in turn serve the entire southwest Wisconsin area. So this power is going to flow on the system, and the way that it works, it goes from the higher voltage lines down to the lower voltage lines, down to the communities that need the power. This is for residences, this is for businesses, this is for industrial use, and this is for southwest Wisconsin, but it also supports the region, much like the interstate highway. This transmission backbone benefits the region, but it also benefits the local area.
Kaya, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kaya Freeman is corporate communications consultant at American Transmission Company. We're talking about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line that would be a continuation of the Badger Cooley transmission line. The project is still under construction between La Crosse and Madison. County officials and grassroots groups of landowners have been opposing the project. Coming up after the news, we'll talk with one of these groups, that is the Driftless Area Land Conservancy, getting your questions on this transmission project. 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. A proposed half-billion-dollar high-voltage transmission line route would cut through the Driftless region of southwestern Wisconsin. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Cardinal Hickory Creek line has galvanized homeowners and small towns alike. You see yard signs that say no ATC lines and protect the Driftless. The Driftless Area Land Conservancy is one of those advocacy groups organizing against the project. David Clutter is executive director of the Dodgeville-based organization, which is retaining a lawyer from the Environmental Law and Policy Center to argue against the Cardinal Hickory Creek line as the formal application goes before the Public Service Commission sometime this spring. David, welcome to the program.
Good. Well, thank you for having me.
So what, good morning. What are your major concerns here about this transmission line?
Well, Driftless Area Land Conservancy is a nonprofit conservation organization. We're, an accredited land trust based in Dodgeville, and we serve the, roughly five counties of southwest Wisconsin. Our mission is to maintain and enhance the health, beauty, and diversity of southwest Wisconsin while connecting people to the land and to one another. And when this project came up, we sort of took a hard look at our mission, and we took a look at this project. And as we learned about energy demand being flat or declining, as we learned about the scale of this project, this is a massive construction project. When we learned about the two proposed routes and the resource areas that this would affect the property values, how would it affect that, how it would affect tourism in the area, we just determined that we had to oppose it.
So what does your organization plan, how does it plan to fight it against this? I mean, because the proposals going up before the PSC, there is a preferred route. What can your organization do?
Well, I think, we do what we can do as a small nonprofit. I mean, energy demand has been flat or declining. We feel that even if there are, increased demand over time, that there are far better alternatives for meeting that need. Maybe we can get into that, but, at this time we're engaging the Environmental Law and Policy Center out of Chicago. They have offices in Chicago, Madison, throughout the Midwest and D.C. They've been terrific counsel in helping us understand these issues. I think when we first took a look at this, we thought, well, you have to move power from point A to point B, and, so it goes. But when we learned that, your previous guest mentioned that, 50% of the renewable portfolio standard here in the state of Wisconsin is coming from outside the state. Well, that has to change. We know that for the price tag of this project at $500 million. Now, what wasn't mentioned is that ATC and its investors get 10.2% return on their investment. So that's an annual return that they get. When this is all said and done after 40 years, I mean, this is going to be a $2+ billion project. And yes, we're paying 10 to 15% in the state of Wisconsin for this project, but Wisconsin ratepayers should also know that they're paying for other transmission projects in other states. This is an income generator for the transmission companies, and we don't feel that You know, something that's necessarily good for ATC shareholders is good for the residents and good for the landscape out here in the Driftless area. I mean, this is a national treasure that we're talking about here with, you know, three state parks with a state recreation area, the Military Ridge Prairie Heritage Area, Dodgeville, Wyoming Conservation Area, which is of continental importance.
Well, meanwhile, a number of counties, county governments, municipalities have been drafting resolutions. Can resolutions do anything? Can they really give any protections?
Well, no, not in and of themselves. But I think what it says to our elected officials, what it says to Governor Walker, what it says to the PSC is that, you know, we need to slow this down and take a hard look at this. Because, you know, it's not adding up. You know, talking about renewables, I mean, let's get renewables, solar and wind in the state of Wisconsin and provide jobs in the state of Wisconsin rather than, you know, massive transmission projects with, you know, 300 million tons of concrete and so on to bring in that power from another state. And I just wanted to make this point. This is an open access FERC line, right? So that means that, you know, lignite coal can hop on this line. Nuclear can hop on this line, natural gas from fracking. I mean, this is not a green line. So I just want to make that clear. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Driftless Area Land Conservancy, working with the Driftless Defenders, which is a landowner group, which has just been doing some fantastic organizing, Soul of Wisconsin, other municipalities, what we're saying is that, you know, through these resolutions is that we need to slow this down. We need to really think about what the public good is here. And I'm hoping that the PSC really does take a hard look at this.
David Clutter,
you know, the bottom line is we don't think this is a good project. It's not a green project. It's an expensive project and it's not needed.
David Clutter is with us. He's executive director of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. It's one of several advocacy organizations working to stop construction of the high voltage transmission line. That's preferred route is through that region, the Driftless area. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line? Do you think the line would be good for the development of renewable energy? Do you worry about its effects on the environment? Do you have concerns about what the taxpayer's role is in the line? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. David Clutter, in 2013, the town of Holland, Wisconsin, filed suit against the PSC after it approved the Badger Cooley transmission line in spite of the town's opposition. They lost the suit, then appealed, and as we know now, the construction on the Madison portion of the Badger Cooley line is complete. Does that case concern you?
No, I mean, you know, it is what it is. We know this is a David and Goliath type of situation. I mean, deregulation, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, has a hand in this. We're providing a, you know, private for-profit company with shareholders the power of eminent domain to presumably meet a public benefit. So let's just make sure that there's a public benefit, and I think that's what we're going to be talking about, you know, with the PSC and what we should be talking about, frankly, with our legislators.
Let's bring in some calls now. Let's go to John in Highland. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Dave, John Walte here. Kate, thank you very much for having the show.
Sure thing.
I wanted to remind Dave that the need issue is certainly contentious, but there is a really interesting point that I'm sure that they wouldn't like you to know about, and that is that the Department of Energy has been doing an audit on electrical and general power usage in the United States since the 70s. And what that has shown is it has grown from we waste half of what we make in the United States to now we waste two-thirds of the energy that we make in the United States. And in Wisconsin alone, we sell 20 to 40% of our energy to other states. So why do we need power brought here from South Dakota? We don't.
John, thanks for the call. David, can you respond to that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think John's spot on. This is an issue that I think, you know, when you're talking about a developer that, you know, is making, you know, good profit off it, off building these lines, I mean, there's no disincentive not to do it, right? So I think that's where we have to have, you know, the PSC and our legislators really step up and address issues like John has just brought to us. I mean, we need to really take a hard look at this process, and I don't think people are. I think people just go with the assumption that, well, it's transmission lines, you know, and you think about these transmission poles and they're, you know, you can kind of hug them. There's wooden things. But in fact, these are, you know, these poles are massive, 6 foot at the base. This is a big construction project.
I should mention...
Just one more thing, and that is that, you know, those who might say that this brings jobs to Wisconsin, I mean, they're putting these things in with helicopter, which are three times quicker than land crews can put them in. So, I mean, this is not going to bring jobs to Wisconsin, but so, local solar and local wind will.
Some renewable energy advocates, speaking of solar wind, say that we do need to put the infrastructure in place if we want to make renewables more widespread, and the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line would be part of that. How can we expand renewables without the infrastructure in place?
Well, I mean, it's called distributed energy. You know, it's putting renewables in the state of Wisconsin, not trucking it in from, you know, hundreds of miles away. I mean, the energy loss over that distance is significant, as John points out. So, you know, it's talking about bringing renewables here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, the fact of the matter is, it's happening. It's happening here in Wisconsin. It's happening throughout the nation. You know, solar is the fastest growing energy sector in the world right now. So it is happening. We're on the verge of a energy boom here in renewables. And that's why we want to slow down this 20th century project, because this is really 20th century technology. Distributed energy is the future. Battery storage is the future. And that's where we should be putting our efforts and our thoughts.
So what is next for the Driftless Area Land Conservancy and other groups on this issue?
Well, I think we're just going to keep organizing. You know, we're going to keep getting the word out. And, you know, once ATC files, we'll intervene, as well as the Environmental Law and Policy Center. And, you know, we'll make this case to the PSC. And we hope they're thinking about the public good, and I'm sure they are. And so I think once we have this conversation and once the evidence gets out there, I think that's a real problem for this project, this ATC project.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks.
David Clutter is Executive Director of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. It's one of several advocacy organizations working on stopping construction of the high-voltage transmission line that has a preferred route through the Driftless region. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you make of this Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line project? Do you think the line would be good for the development of renewable energy? Do you worry about its effects on the environment? Call in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now let's bring in Sam Mintz. He is a reporter for E&E News. That's an online news service covering energy and environment policy and markets based in Washington, D.C. Sam, welcome to the program. Oh, are you there, Sam?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So how do disputes like this between utilities and local governments, advocacy groups, private landowners, how do they typically go?
Well, David earlier called it a David and Goliath situation, and I'd say that's pretty accurate. The utilities have a lot of power here. They have the backing of, for in this case, MISO, the regional grid operator. You know, they've invested a lot of money into this project, and typically state utility commissions give them a lot of deference. I mean, I think that's the precedent. There's definitely room for local stakeholders to have influence the process, but they're the David for sure.
So the cards are stacked against them. In disputes like this, state regulators like the Wisconsin Public Service Commission tend to lean for siding with utility companies. Why is that, and does that happen across the country?
Yeah, I mean, that's generally the situation across the country. You know, and the accusation from opponents of projects like this is basically that the state utility commissions are in the pockets of industry or to give too much deference to industry. And I'm not sure the exact cause behind that, but that's the accusation, at least.
Is that true? Is there something to that?
I mean, I will say that they do really thorough reviews of these projects, which include environmental reviews. And it's not always the case that they always approve projects like this. Obviously, there are a lot of factors in different regions.
So what does the law tell us? What about lawsuits? They're in Holland, Wisconsin, they sued the state regulator back in 2013 over a transmission line project it opposed, wasn't successful. They appealed. You know, the line happened anyway. We've also, on this line that we're talking about, the Cardinal Hickory Creek, there's plans on suing over this line. Are lawsuits like this effective?
I mean, my sense is that the state regulators, the state Public Service Commission, have the authority to determine whether the project is in the public interest. And I think you mentioned earlier that that original lawsuit had not been effective. It's been appealed, but generally, I think courts give state regulators deference. I mean, it's their authority to determine whether the project is in the public interest.
Last month in New Hampshire, state regulators rejected a huge utility proposal, the Northern Pass Transmission Line project. What about that project? What can it teach us about these kinds of disputes?
Sure. So that was a slightly different situation than in Wisconsin, but I think it's still relevant. Basically, the state of New Hampshire has in addition to its Public Utility Commission, it has a state agency called the Site Evaluation Committee, and that agency had a unanimous 7-0 vote basically saying, we're not convinced that this utility has done enough to prove that the project is in the public interest and has more benefits than costs. And so I think what that says is that, you know, there is room for local influence and local voices to affect processes like this. There were a lot of grassroots groups in New Hampshire, and still are, because that process is ongoing, which opposed that project, and they made their voices heard, and they were heard, it seems.
Are there circumstances when state regulators say, nope, I don't think so, when they're less likely to go with utilities? Is there any precedent?
It happens occasionally. I mean, this New Hampshire one that I just mentioned is a recent example, but I'd say generally it's rare. I mean, occasionally what you'll see as well is if state regulators come up with significant problems with a project, the developers might just withdraw or significantly change their route. That happens occasionally as well.
We're talking about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission will ultimately decide the corridor route and whether the project can proceed as planned. Sam Mintz is with us. He's a reporter for E&E News covering energy and environment policy issues. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about transmission line projects that run across states, run across Wisconsin? Do you think that, do you have concerns about how these projects are paid for? If you live in the Driftless area, what do you make of the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line? Are you a landowner or on a proposed route for the transmission line? What do you make of it? 800-642-1234. Send your question by email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back with your questions, your thoughts, right after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Controversial high-voltage transmission line projects are not unusual. An administrative law judge in New Jersey just blocked a project in that state, saying that the power company didn't meet its burden of proof in determining its feasibility or need. That judge's decision is now forwarded to that state's Board of Public Utilities, which can either accept, deny, or modify the decision within 45 days. It's one example of a disputed transmission line project elsewhere in the country as we discuss the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Sam Mintz stays with us. He's a reporter for E&E News covering energy and environmental policy issues. You can join in with your insights. Let's go straight now to the phones with Tom in Viroqua, who's been waiting. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. We're facing a situation very similar to as it was in the 1980s when Xcel NSP wanted to build a giant nuclear power plant on the Chippewa River. Expert testimony proved that it was unnecessary, that the same demand and better low costs could be achieved by conservation and efficiency. The state went through 20 years following that of least cost planning of very stable, reliable electricity with virtually no rate hikes, and it was only and very good investment in efficiency programs. It was only in recent years that the Public Service Commission, under deregulation, essentially turned its back on this approach, enabled the utilities to go ahead with projects, gave control of the efficiency back to the of the utilities, which has since reduced our focus on energy program down to a joke compared to what it could have been.
So Tom, only
focusing on you know which route this power line should go, you know, we really have to look at the other side.
You're looking at the underlying. And you're also bringing up the historical lens, Sam Mintz, looking at trends on energy projects through time, through history.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the specific that specific project he's talking about in Wisconsin, but it's definitely true that it's in the utilities' interest to work on these big projects. I mean, they, as David mentioned before, they make a profit off of them.
Let's go to Mary now in Lancaster. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I just had a question in regards, do the utilities pay taxes? And also, it was reported that the utilities were not going to buy homeowners that have produced their own electricity through solar, that they weren't going to purchase that anymore. And so if there's such a need, why is that? And why don't they, you know, if they don't pay taxes, why aren't they paying taxes?
Good questions, Mary. Sam Mintz, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure about the specific situation in Wisconsin. In general, utilities do pay taxes, and there's some debate about how much they can recover. As for the solar, I did want to mention one thing about what David said before, which was an argument that I hear pretty commonly in debates like this, which was essentially, you know, why instead of building this big transmission project, which is going to bring in energy from a different state, why don't we build our own local projects here? You know, wind and solar. Projects that'll create jobs and create our own local energy, and that's a really common argument against big projects like this.
Let's go to Ann now in Dodgeville. Hi, Ann.
Hello. I appreciate being able to comment about this important project. Southwestern Wisconsin enjoys a very robust tourism industry, and as a matter of fact, it's significantly higher than a lot of places in Wisconsin. It's easy to Google this and find out the exact numbers. Very significant and can't be offset by any payments by ATC. The tourism attractions we have here are natural, and they are affected almost in some cases destroyed by the presence of these kinds of lines that over the years take a significant amount of maintenance in order to keep growth away from them. I feel that we also have an issue with this company being able to come and access land through eminent domain. And I feel that we are in southwestern Wisconsin. We are going to be faced with an economic problem because land values will be decreasing with the presence of these lines. So perhaps your guests can help us sort out these particular issues.
Anne, thanks for the call, bringing up tourism first and the environmental impact there, and also eminent domain. Sam?
Yeah, so tourism is an interesting question, and it was a big factor in New Hampshire. It remains a big factor in New Hampshire, which is obviously a state known for its natural environment and a tourism based on the natural environment. And that was a big point that opponents of the Northern Pass project there made, and I think that the site evaluation committee had in mind. It's not always something that public service commissions will fully consider, and that's been something that opponents have been frustrated about in other places. As for eminent domain, it's another interesting factor involved in this. Basically, once the developers have received their certificate from the Public Service Commission, which would be a couple years down the line, they'd start negotiating with landowners along the project's line, and if they couldn't reach agreements that way, they could claim land by eminent domain. And that's a pretty controversial process. It's something that lots of landowners and local advocates are really, really mad about. But and again, state laws can differ, but it's the law as of right now.
Let's go to Mike now, joining us from Platteville. Hi, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple thoughts about Public Service Commission. They are appointed by the governor, so there's a fair amount of political influence possible in their decisions. Public service commissioners often go from that job to other jobs within the industries they were supposed to be overseeing. So they have a fairly lucrative future if they play nice with the industry. In the case of Badger Cooley, the judge in that circuit court said that it was obvious that PSC did not have the ratepayers' interests in mind when they made the decision. So he felt he couldn't reverse it, but he didn't feel it was a good decision.
So Mike is concerned about conflicts of interest. Sam Mintz?
Yeah, that's definitely a potential problem, and that's one of the things, you know, I talked before about how some people accuse public service commissions of being in the pocket of industry, and that revolving door that Mike brings up is a thing. I mean, it's true that public service commissioners can come from or eventually move to the same companies that they're tasked with regulating.
Is it true that we're trending toward distributed energy and smaller scale grids, or does having large scale infrastructure in place, is that what we need if we're going to have more expansive energy in the future?
Well, it's a complicated question. There definitely is a trend towards distributed energy, and that goes towards some of what David was saying before about let's build our own solar, our own local energy producing sources. But there's also a need to build out transmission, and especially, you know, with the growth in renewables as they become cheaper, the need for transmission has also grown, and that's something that grid operators have pointed to. You know, basically, renewable energy, especially wind, is often produced further away from the demand centers, unlike traditional power plants, and so you do need a build out of transmission to some degree to bring that energy to where it's needed.
Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Port Wing. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, real quick, this argument about tourists being, you know, dissuaded from coming to an area, we heard this argument 20 years ago in northwestern Wisconsin. And if you looked at where the power line came across Highway 53, there were no skid marks up to it and people turning around. People come because their cabins need to have power. Unlike 20 years ago, they don't want to rough it up here. The argument where tourists are not going to visit an area because of these large power lines just isn't true. People ignore them. They're a part of the environment in today's world because they're necessary. And real quick, look what happened in Puerto Rico without those big power lines coming through. They are starting from ground zero because of that.
So Tom's saying, you know, these arguments are a bit overblown here, Sam Mintz.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak to the validity of the argument. It's not really my place to do that. But, you know, I would just say that these are big projects, and they definitely have an impact on the environments immediately around them. And they can be unsightly. I mean, you've probably seen these power lines. They're on these huge poles, and they can mar landscapes. As to whether that diminishes the tourist value of the locations they're in, I can't really speak to that.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, what do you think is the biggest change or challenge on the horizon for energy and utilities?
Well, the distributed energy resources we talked about are going to be key. I mean, how both state regulators and federal regulators decide to treat those local sources of energy is going to be really interesting, and whether utilities companies can continue being profitable and building the projects that they want to build is another question.
What about security of these lines and security within the stream of electric energy?
Yeah, that's a big issue as well. I mean, both cybersecurity and physical security have been pretty major focuses for both regulators and utilities, and as well as the federal government. You know, there are cyber attacks against utility companies. That's a regular occurrence, and it's going to be something that people have to figure out how to deal with.
Well, Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sam Mintz is a reporter for E&E News, covering energy and environmental policy issues. It's based in Washington, D.C. Earlier, we talked with Kaya Freeman. She's corporate communications consultant with American Transmission Company. And we heard from David Clutter, who is executive director of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Nyasia Ellison. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.